This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and I'm talking with Greg Bowles. He's the Director of Engineering and Manufacturing for the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, and he's going to give us some more detail and an update on what's going on with changing the Part 23 certification standards for aircraft. So, Greg, thanks for talking to us today.
Absolutely, Mary. It's good to talk to you. Yeah, this is a really important project, and I think a number of the listeners and readers will be very pleased to hear that the FAA is going down this path.
Okay, and what exactly will this mean for pilots and aircraft buyers in the future?
So about 3 years ago, we had an opportunity with the FAA to evaluate Part 23 in whole. And so they called in a bunch of association folks and FAA folks to take a look at what Part 23 encompassed and what could be done to make it more effective and also improve the regulations. And so at that time, we knew that Part 23 aircraft have been in kind of steady decline. Some of the things that are concerning to us, I'll try not to dwell on this too much, but some of the things that are concerning, last year, 2010, we delivered 965 piston airplanes in the world, certified piston airplanes in the world, as compared to the late 1970s when we would deliver about 17,000 a year. So at that rate, the existing fleet of 220,000 airplanes, it would take us 200 years at this rate of about 1,000 airplanes a year to replace that existing fleet, which means for the indefinite future, if we don't do something, every year the average airplane gets a year older because we don't even make the capacity to replace what we use at a reasonable fashion. The average age of an airplane today is 40 years old. That's a four-seater piston airplane. And while in some respects that's great, it shows that these products are durable and long-lasting. We can't continue to bank the future of aviation on airplanes that continue to get a year older. I think when we all look back and if the average age of an airplane was 100 years old, we'd say we've got a major problem here. So the FAA recognized that and wants to take steps to try to address that condition as well as some of the other features in Part 23.
Okay, so by updating Part 23, how does that make it easier for a manufacturer to take an airplane, you know, from concept to where it's ready to go on the market?
So the Part 23 regulations today are kind of a conglomeration of rules or a set of band-aids, I would call it. When the rules were written a long time ago as CAR 3, the products that existed at the time were very simple piston airplanes that were made of fabric and tube. And that's what the rules were written to address, wood, fabric, tube construction. And so what we did as airplanes got more complex and new technologies came along is we piled on new regulations. And they didn't necessarily fit perfectly, but we added and added and added. And today we live in a world where Part 23 spans products from light single piston airplanes all the way up to multi-engine turbine jets. And so the rules have all stacked on top of each other and it's become a very complex structure. One of the difficulties for a manufacturer is the cost of certifying a Part 23 airplane, whether it be simple or more complex, is relatively similar. And so when you look and have to make a decision that you're going to have to invest $50 to $100 million for a certification program, you're going to need to recoup that money, and so you're going to have to sell a product that's more expensive. As a result, we see very few cost-effective entry-level airplanes in Part 23. Light sport has been a great boost for the industry. But a light sport airplane has limitations. It's very good for local flying. It's good for some cross country, but it can't carry more than two folks. It doesn't go as quick as you'd like, and they have a weight limitation. So from that boost in the industry, we need a thriving light end of Part 23. And so the hope is by setting the rules so that certifying a simple light airplane is a simple endeavor, whereas certifying a complex airplane is more complex, we would hope that we could start to see cost-effective airplanes in the entry level as we do in the more complex areas today.
So are you looking, the end result here will be sort of a Part 23A and 23B, where one part addresses the simple aircraft and it's something else entirely for the complex planes?
So what we're actually looking at is more of a spectrum of products. So today we have a spectrum of products, so we'd like the rules to address that spectrum. I don't know if the answer is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 divisions, but what we have discussed is the division should not be based upon things that they have historically. They shouldn't be based upon propulsion or weight. Those are good things that are used for assumptions, but they don't really get to the root of the problem. We may see a very simple entry-level turbine airplane someday. And just because the engine is a turbine doesn't mean we should apply very complex rules. For example, a Cessna 208 is a relatively simple airplane as compared to a Cessna Citation CJ4, which is also a Part 23 aircraft, but much more complex. So an engine is not a good measure of complexity. So we'd want to use something that's a true measure of complexity as well as a measure of performance to set the right kind of rules. So the short answer is I don't know the exact number of divisions. That's what this rulemaking committee will discuss. But certainly parsing up Part 23 into some bite-sized pieces so that we address today's products as well as what we expect for the next 20 years will be the secret.
Oh, okay. So do you have a sense that complexity and performance basically are the things you're going to be looking at, or is that something also that still needs to be hashed out?
So certainly we'll have to discuss those areas, I think, or that the rulemaking group will have to discuss those areas. The idea of complexity and performance are generally the area that the FAA really tries to get to with their regulations, but there may be other measures that are appropriate, and that all has to be discussed.
Okay, and so the situation now is that this rulemaking committee has been established. So what happens now? How long will this process take?
So traditionally, an FAA rulemaking committee will last anywhere between a year and 2 years. This one is going to last 18 months. And then the rulemaking package or recommendation will go to the FAA for the FAA to act upon. That can sometimes take a period of time. We would hope in this case it would be prioritized because it's very important that we revitalize light end of general aviation. We're losing 10,000 pilots a year, 10,000 private pilots a year. We actually dipped below 200,000 private pilots for the first time since the late 1950s, just this year. And so that's very concerning as well. So there's a lot of indicators that point that this is a very important problem, which we look at kind of like a seed corn issue. The entry level is where we bring in new pilots and excitement into aviation. And while we're seeing great things happen in the complex end, if we're not careful and if we don't cultivate this entry level, all that can disappear eventually.
So once these new rules are in place, can you give us a sense of how dramatic or, you know, would this really have an impact, say, where it speeds the certification substantially, or is it more of an incremental type thing?
So we would see two things. First of all, we would hope that these rules are written in a manner that are very attractive to new entrants. I actually believe a lot of those new entrants will be folks that are making light sport airplanes today that would like to, once they show their success in that industry, would like to go into the certified aircraft area, building certified airplanes. And so we'd love that transition to be easy for them, to see a lot of new manufacturers entering the marketplace. We'd love to see the existing Part 23 manufacturers be able to justify good investment in the entry level. So there's a lot of folks who can bring these products once the rule structure supports it well. The other thing that we want to do is make sure that the rules are designed to be flexible over time, that is. So Part 23 rules, they're the rules for airplanes weighing less than 12,500 pounds. It also includes the 19,000-pound commuter category, but that's a side issue. So the rules for Part 23 are not prioritized in the same way that the rules are for large transport airplanes, which is called Part 25. When the FAA goes through rulemaking, they typically put more credence on the rules that affect the commercial traveling public, and so Part 23 rules don't get updated nearly as often. As a result, what we'd like to do is make sure that this rulemaking package that comes through has flexibility to it. And we've got to figure out a way to make sure that over time, the FAA can maintain these regulations without having to go through the rulemaking process. That may be through leveraging industry standards like we do in the TSO process or other clever ideas like that to make sure that these rules stay current and allow everyone to do the things that are very exciting without having to wait for rulemaking.
Oh, okay. So ultimately, this should allow manufacturers to bring products to market more quickly and along with that, at a better price. Is that your goal?
That's absolutely the goal, is to have the certification kind of right-sized for the product you're trying to make, and then also have it stay that way as we go off into the future.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. This is Mary Grady for AvWeb. I've been talking with Greg Bowles from Gamma. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.